Hey guys, thank you for joining us at All the Answers podcast, where we answer all your questions through the Akashic Records. Our sound quality is not excellent in some of these first few episodes because we were pulled away from our studio when Corona happened. So the longer you stick around, sound will be amazing. So we hope you stick around. Enjoy.
Welcome to that spiritual, actual, factual answers to questions you're asking. You find them inside you, recite you, reciting the records of Akashic. We laughing, we drafting it, passion through fabric. It's time for that comedy, dramedy, all of the fanciest, catchiest acronyms. Listeners, listen, we traveling. Consciousness always unraveling. The reading you're having is mapping you back to your natural habitat. Abracadabra, it's magic, let's pass me. To top it off, the host are the classiest. Now, what were you asking for? All of the answers, say what? All of the answers, yeah, all the answers.
So, hi everybody. Welcome to whatever episode this is. We're happy to be here. One thing I was thinking before we hopped on today about talking just briefly with folks about the concept of healers who get healings. Healers need healing. I myself, doing all this high vibe work, I require people who have things I don't have and can bring me forward in my journey. And I thought I would share with people a tiny bit before we bring our guest on today, who we're going to bring on pretty quickly. I'd like to work with her at the top of the session today, mostly just because I'm already in the records and I'm already kind of getting a lot of information for people today. So I wanted to just kind of dive into that because when I'm in that particular vibration and that particular space, I'm not real good at chit chat. I don't really want, I'm not like, I don't know, what are we talking about? I'm just like, yeah, let's channel. So I was like, well, if I'm there, we may as well just dive on in and get her going so we don't waste this kind of energy or whatever. Not that it's wasted, but you get my point. Yeah, so I just wanted to share with people, like there's a woman, you know, I signed up to have a session with who I got guidance to have a session with months ago. And her first availability was like 6 or 8 months later and was like 6 times the cost of what I charge. She's like, no fucking joke. I had a session with her. What day is this? Is today Thursday? So this would have been Tuesday night. I am still in the sixth dimension. I feel like I am just molecules that are like very far apart from one another. There's like little molecules that exist all around me that you could, people have named them Katie Rubin, but it sure doesn't feel coalesced in any recognizable way to me. Which is pretty trippy. It's pretty trippy. She, to give people a little concept of like just different ways that different energy workers work, right? She talked, she's a, I don't even know what to call her. She's a medium and a channel, but like fucking super amazing. She talked for about 1.5 hours and the entire time she was talking, she was transmitting an energy frequency to me and through me. This was on the phone, by the way, that was so profound. And the whole thing was being, you know, recorded. So I'm going to be listening back to it. But I was aware as she was talking of like my liver was being detoxified. My entire energy body was being purified on a new level. I was being taken into another dimension. All this like weird attachment to the karmic wheel of time, for real, was like getting dissolved as she was talking. It was fucking mind-blowing, heart-blowing, body-blowing. And for the next about 12 hours, I was in a state of like unified bliss with the field of all that is, that I was like, wow, this, if I never come out of this, I'll probably never do anything again, but it, I don't care in any way. So anyway, that happened. And she gave me, of course, some like really specific, we were on the phone for 3 hours, which is part of why she costs $9 million. But she gave me really specific guidance. She read my mind. She told me my whole life story without me ever telling her anything. She knew all the things. She answered all my questions before I asked them. I was about to say to her, like after she talked for 1.5 hours, can we talk about my business and how to structure it? And she goes, okay, now we need to talk about your business and how to structure it. And I was like, yeah, I know. Okay. So anyway, it's good for people to, you know, we're doing this crazy thing and I'm claiming to have all the answers for people. So it's like, let's let people know, like I get help and I have people I like learn from and receive transmissions from myself and all of that.
I've started getting feedback from people, and I think this is relevant to that. Literally, this podcast already has been a necessary tool in their day-to-day just management of self. And that is a profound thing to hear. So I love that you, of course, are, it's all like everything is a channel for something else. Like, I am also being affected by our conversations, and I am also doing work on myself, which I then get to bring here to this conversation. You are bringing in deep, profound wisdom from other dimensions, but you are also getting some for yourself and then sharing yourself on this dimension. And I just, it's doing its job. And I love that. I think that's brilliant.
Yeah, that's been meaningful to me too. I really hear you. Like, our guest today, our friend Fontana Butterfield, who's going to come on and ask a question, she'll text me and say like, oh my God, I just heard episode 6 and I'm like buzzing on my bed. I'm on another level. How did you drop me into this meditative space? And it's really great to it's just great. You know, I'm used to that when it's like I'm working one-on-one with people or in my classes, but like to do it through a podcast format.
It's time delayed. So like the fact that you're transmitting healing through words in a different temporal shift is, that's remarkable.
Yeah. I mean, I've been doing, you know, long distance and time delayed healing work for a long time again, but I haven't had the experience of through a podcast. I know that for the average Joe, time delay is remarkable. And even I still meet people who go like, wait a minute, you do that. They'll go like, what do you do? And I'll go, energy healing. And then they go, oh, like Reiki. And I go, no, not fucking Reiki. And then they go like, what? And then I tell them sort of, and then they go, well, so where do people go? And I go, it's on the phone. And then they go, what? And they can't even what? So the fact that like, I know that for a lot of people, time delay is a crazy notion too. For like everyone I hang out with, that's like super normal. I mean, not everyone I hang out with, but everyone in these worlds that I hang out with, the spiritual worlds, it's like, yeah, of course, I listened to that thing later and it transmitted energy. The normal population is like, oh, what? But for myself, I'm also just blown away. Like, I like that the podcast format can be used this way. Podcasting is sort of like what it is, or it has been used in a way. You know, we all listen to them for people to talk to each other, but to transmit light, I'm excited that we're kind of bringing that to this form.
Yeah, I have so many more things to say about that idea, but I think you were right. Let's get Fontana on, and maybe at the end we can circle back if you'd like. But
which idea?
Oh, the idea that the podcast transmitting of energy. I'll just say it. It's very quick. I listen to a lot of podcasts, and some of them are so profound. They're not necessarily spiritual in their orientation.
Yeah.
I think of like this one episode of Radiolab.
Yeah.
That will bring me to tears every time I listen to it.
Yeah.
And it's not just, I do think that the hearing of that story is the transmission of energy and is a healing experience and all the things that we are talking about. So now it makes more sense. Now that I've just, in my own context, I do believe that, you know, the sharing of stories is a deeply spiritual experience.
100%.
And so like realizing that a Radiolab episode can actually transmit healing energy 4 years after it was recorded.
There you go. So same.
Yeah. Yours is a little more direct. That's right. All. A little more called that. Like yours is like, no, we know we're doing that.
Right.
That's what we're doing.
That's right. And you know, that's a really good point, Cass, too, because it's a lot of times, a lot of what this work is directly doing stuff that in other ways people are doing. It's just not directly that or directly called that.
Right. We're calling it out in this case.
Here's what I mean. When you transmit divine light into someone, another way to do that is to like sit with your feelings and feel them. Another way to do that is to go to one of those float tanks and dissolve your sense of self, like we talked about the other day, and your muscles relax and then you totally let go and then something changes. Another way to do that is, there's a million ways to do it. This is just sort of like a faster, brighter, more sort of tapping directly into source, actively calling it that and doing it. Like people, human beings, what they do is they stumble upon their healing a lot of times, or they talk or feel or cry their way into their healing. And that's great. That's what we've been doing forever. This is the dawn of the age of Aquarius. And so the consciousness, like truly, is ready for like, how about we just go right to the core star of the earth and bring like divine light to our face holes? Why not? you know? And like energy healers have been doing what energy healers do from the beginning of time. It's just that like, I think I'm just getting a kick out of the fact that we're doing it in this like radio format. And I know there have been healers who do radio shows before.
There's other radio spiritual podcasts.
Yes, psychics,
a lot. Whatever. I've been searching them.
I'm just having my fun of being like, we're doing it too. And it's really fun.
I'm so glad other people are listening. It's so good for me every fucking week to do it and then put it in my head later, in my ears.
Oh, cool.
And re-experiencing it. Of course, I'm glad that other people are listening to it, but it's enough for me that it exists, you know, as a place to come together with you, my awesome friend, Katie, who I love so much.
Totally. You too. All right.
Should I text Fontana and tell her to get on?
Bring her ass on here. I already started getting info for her, even just reading her question. And I also have these cards that sort of ask me to have them. So we made pull cards for her too. The question's good because it's if she asks what she was asking on Facebook, because it's very much a question that a lot of people are asking in a mental framework that a lot of people are using. So, you know, it's relatable and human and useful and all of that.
I will see if she comes on anytime soon, but we don't need to do small talk. We'll just wait until she gets on here and then fucking get to this shit.
Yeah, I mean, he doesn't even cut this, right?
We can trim this up. Nope, no, he's not gonna.
No.
Don't assume, apparently, what Desmond is willing to do. Oh, man.
How's your week been otherwise?
So good. Honestly, I had a rough Sunday. Like, I got kind of bogged down and gooey and gummy and stuck in the morass of not doing anything. And then I just recognized that that's what was happening and went, and just started doing shit. Like yesterday, I took the rest of the masks we made to a homeless encampment and handed them to some folks there and listened to our podcast on the walk there and back. And then I dug in the garden for a while. And then I got parts for my booth and I built my booth. And I'm just like, I was saying in therapy today, I put my hands in the dirt in everything. Like everything I was doing was gardening, even though only one little bit was actual gardening, but I feel like the last few days I've been gardening.
That's nice.
And that feels really good.
I hear that loud and clear.
How are you doing? Are you getting ready for your show tomorrow?
Yeah, I've been doing a lot of show prep and working on the jokes and building in, like, it's interesting to, I'm very excited about this format that I've been telling people that this show is, that like what we decided this would be, which is like, I'm teaching spiritual concepts and doing jokes, which is in a way what I've always been doing, but I'm more overtly claiming that now. And as a result of more overtly claiming it, like in the marketing, like that is what this is. That gives me permission in the writing of it to, I'm like structuring the jokes around the spiritual concepts as opposed to the other way around. So that feels very good to me, like very meaningful. Like I get to say like, here's what's happening. Here's what this is about. Here's what this means. Learn this lesson. And then joke in between. Which feels really good. It feels like what another thing that the woman I worked with, the healer I was working with, that I was telling about said, she goes, your whole life has been building to this moment. And I feel that way. And she even said this, and I was like, it have been before she said it, feeling embarrassed to say this out loud because for obvious reasons, but I actually feel like the coronavirus is like the best thing that's ever happened to me in a way.
Oh, I understand that feeling. And I've been struggling with not feeling great about that, but like just being like, it's really good.
Yeah, there's like so much good that's come from it. And I'm trying to talk about that in the comedy show too and be like, hey, so let's look at like what we're getting out of this, because that's a big part of the point of it. But personally, I'm just getting a lot out of it. For example, I've been the whole thing of like all of us being forced to sit still, the sitting still, like I had a whole therapy session where we talked about like, there are ways that, like, I already was doing an hour and a half to 2 hours of healing work a day. So my mind will tell me that that means I've sat still enough. Thank you very much. I got shit to do now. And then I will like do things for my business and then go walk the dog and then go to Rayleigh's and then go see a friend and do 90 things because I like to do stuff, right? So I would say that to myself, that like there was even a degree of my, what I had told myself was just normal functioning running around that was still distraction from what the universe had to teach me if I were to really sit still. And so being forced to sit still and literally stay the fuck home and only go to Rayleigh's and only walk the dog has opened new levels of awareness about like what my business wants to be, what my life is for, what this next period of time is. Spiritual truths I did not have access to before because I was too busy running around doing shit. I would not have probably sat this fucking still if it weren't for this thing. Also, I got to stop driving to Stanford once a week and do that online, which I was done with already, but having a hard time admitting I was done with it. And then once I was given the option to not do it, I was like, oh yeah, I'm done with that. I'm not doing that. I'm not driving there anymore. And because I was given the option not to.
You were given the information.
Yeah, right. But that would have been harder to come to on my own because it just would have been. Just 900 things like that where I go, wow, I actually, and like certain social things I was doing out of like, I want to be a part of FOMO. Now, I mean, I already am a person who was working from very little FOMO because I'm conscious of FOMO and I don't believe in functioning from it. And I still had pieces of me that are functioning from it until now. Now, all this sitting still has made me go, those four remaining little nuggets where I was participating in whatever that was for the sake of fitting in or being a part of that team or making sure those guys still like me. Bye-bye. That's fucking gone. And of course, at first, my response to it being gone was like, oh God, I'm dying. I'll be all alone. I'll be by myself forever. I'm a big loser. That all this like high school, fucking, you know, middle school, childhood, old stuff came up. And guess what I didn't have the option to do? Distract away from it. So I went into it and all of a sudden I'm like, I actually don't want to go to that social thing. I never fucking did. But the mind is such a powerful taskmaster lying bastard that it will say, no, but you have to be a part of at least one fill in the blank. But those people are cool. You've definitely got to stay associated with those cool people. Do I? I think not. Because I'm not now. And guess who has even more peace than she had before? This loud Jewish bitch. Preaching complete.
I feel like that's a perfect entry to bring Fontana into the conversation. Fontana, please unmute yourself and join us here on All the Answers.
I am also a perfect bitch.
I won't say that, but I will agree with you because I love you.
I support you from far as a man who is not addressing you.
Who would not use that language, but will support your use of any language you so choose.
So I wanted to start with you at the top, Fontani, even though we had said earlier, like, well, you'll come in later, because I was sitting in my own records for a while before we all got on. So I was like, all right, I'm steeped in it. Let's bring her in and kind of dive in. I think what we're going to do, if you're okay with it, Fontana, is just start by opening your records, and then you can kind of say whatever you want and be like, here's my question. But of course, sorry, I'm in another space, but why don't you tell us, just for the people listening, like maybe a little bit about your and my connection, how we know each other, the kind of work you do. I'd love for people to know a little bit about who you are, if you're up for that.
Yes, lovely. So I am an actor and an improviser. I've known Cassidy for years and years. And Katie Rubin and I became friends, I believe, about a year ago. And we are two people that other people couldn't believe that we didn't know each other. So that was a response like, how do you not know Katie Rubin? And so we are friends, and I've had the pleasure of having a healing, I think one or two with you. And I've been listening to these podcasts and they're really, really helping. I'm also a parent and I'm working from home during this as an improv teacher online. And that's me for now.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Thank you. Yeah, I'm not even sure why they want us to give context to that, but I'm honored to have you. I love you as a whole human, so I want the people to know the wonder that is you. So thank you for coming on. Happy to have you. I think you're our first official. She's our first official.
First official on air guest.
Yeah. And
thank you for breaking that seal with us. That's so fun.
I love that. Okay. All right. So if everybody's ready, we'll go into this. Are you good to go? So taking a couple deep breaths. Fontani Manny, and just feeling into your low belly. I'm really getting, we're not going to do a lot of grounding here. We're just going to kind of open right into the records. Everything's just wanting to just go, go, go. So let's just breathe into the low belly though, just to connect to the breath as you already do so organically. And then we're all just going to come in contact with the bottoms of our feet. So we'll feel the bottoms of each foot. We'll breathe into the low belly, allowing the low belly to fill as we inhale and contract as we exhale. And for Fontana in particular, and everybody listening, dropping into the heart center, Lords, Masters, and Teachers of the Records, we're asking for you to open our multidimensional hearts, everybody listening, and Fontana in particular. And so by the power of divine light within all of us, come Holy Spirit, Allah, Spirit of Light, Spirit of Truth, for the highest good of all, throughout time, Allah, fill our hearts with divine love. As I humbly ask permission to open the divine portal to the highest realm of the Akashic Records for Fontana Butterfield. Akashic beings of light, guide Fontana Butterfield to the deepest truth of her being, releasing any blocks and restrictions to her abundance and highest good. Lords of the Akashic Records, assist Fontana Butterfield to fully embody her soul's light, to fulfill her soul's purposes, to heal any accumulated karma. Surround Fontana Butterfield with the enlightenment and wisdom of her masters, teachers, and loved ones. Clearly direct Fontana Butterfield's perspective and actions to those that manifest her divine plan. I'll just go quiet for a moment here. Okay, free of all resistance, judgment, and fear, we're now filled with divine love and the records are now open. Okay, and so as the records of Fontana continue to deepen, open, I'm asking for both of us to be aligned in her records as completely as possible. Shall we open anything else? Are we good to go? Okay. So record keeper for Fontana, do you have any info to start with? Would you like her to start with her questions? Yes. Okay. I think I'm gonna have my eyes closed for a little bit here, but I'm totally with you whenever you're ready, Fontana.
My question comes from needing leadership and needing to know where and what to do and how around the leadership of our country. I'm experiencing great fear of what could happen. And I don't know what is true and what to believe.
Let us begin with you feeling into the fear you're experiencing. Those tears are beautiful. Let's start there. Allah. So all the fear you're feeling and everywhere it's become so real that it's the only thing you can perceive, which means the questions you're asking are born from it rather than from your higher knowing. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, ashhadu anna Muhammad abduhu wa rasulullah. Allah, astaghfirullah ladim. Allah, astaghfirullah ladim. Allah, keep feeling in, you're doing great. Stay with your heart and your throat, Allah, and your belly. Astaghfirullah, don't shy away from your fear, make friends with it. Astaghfirullah. That's it. You are the pole of the light, beloved, right now for all the people who are afraid, who will hear this in the future and feel this energy. So your fear is holy and righteous, and we're going to sit with it and bring light to it for everyone listening. Keep breathing. So that everyone can receive a collective fear healing, because we need it pretty bad. Allah, Okay. So as this work continues, a little bit of information for you, okay? You are much more receptive, open, sensitive, and spiritually, organically, spiritually aligned and connected than you tend to function as if you are. you tend to listen to the voice of your emotions as if they were a stopping point. Feel. That's it. Don't shy away. That's it. Allah, stay with it. Allah. Good. Allah. Allah, your feelings, your emotions, beloved, yours in particular, yours are a doorway to God. But you need the assistance of the light itself to help you understand viscerally in your body that fact. You get it conceptually and you can do it with me here now in a session, etc. But you were designed to do this on your own. You must now develop your spiritual practice daily for real with no more bullshit in the way. The reason being, you're made up. You're like a spaceship that's like sitting there, like with the spaceship rockets going like, and you're like in Cape Canaveral, and you're a fucking spaceship. You're supposed to be on, you know, planet Sirius or something, and you're like, I'll just stay here in Florida because that's what normal people do. That's a metaphor, by the way. Montana's not literally in Florida. Okay, the point being, it's important that you develop your spiritual connection to actual light, high vibrational light every single day, because this is the whole point of this time for people like yourself. There's no more not being a light worker, Fontana. There's no more not being a light being. There's no more time. This is your time. This is the moment. This is why this is happening. So the point is to go into the fear and ask the light to meet you there and then let it be transmuted, because then you discover something new about who you are and you discover something new about what's true in reality. See, the big picture reality is that Trump is actually not in charge. The people in charge are not actually in charge. The divine is actually in charge. It doesn't look that way right now. But the reason you can't see it is because you haven't been tapping in as regularly as we need you to. We, the beings of light, okay, the fragments of light that make up God consciousness or spirituality itself or the light that creates all things or the divine feminine, we need you on Earth. The Earth people, humanity, is raising in consciousness right now. It's elevating. And anytime anybody or any entity, being, space, place, anything tries to elevate or begins to elevate, there are always forces at play that resist. Always. Right? Like an acorn hatching out of the, what do you call it? The shell. It's not like easy. It has to like push its way out, or a little chickadee baby coming out of the egg. The egg is like kind of a lot of work to peck its way through. Okay. So, here's what Trump is, or the words they give is like, here's what your current government structure is. That government structure currently is a mirroring of the collective unconscious, the collective's buried lower self aspects. All the pieces of ourselves as human beings that we have not wanted to admit we have. And that all we liberals and lighthearted ones and light workers have been being like, I'm just kind of going to not, we're not going to look at, that's ugly. It's over there. It has nothing to do with me. I'm going to do my fun little life. And we've meant well, and there's nothing wrong with us. And what you have to understand is the collective, not just you and me, the collective must face its shadow. That is what this administration is. It is the shadow being mirrored back real fucking strong. Why? So that people will open into and integrate and heal and transform and elevate their own shadow. And you might say to yourself, yeah, but look at all the fucked up stuff they're doing in the meantime. What are we going to do? And our response is come back to us, come back to the light, and you'll find yourself functioning beyond them. There is a reality in which you can make money and have joy beyond every external circumstance. But you will never know what that reality is until you take every emotion, Fontana, our holiest of beloveds, our holy beloved sister. You will never know what that reality is. Sweet, sweetheart, until you begin to take every emotion to the light and let it transmute that emotion into truth. Emotions are the doorway to truth. You can't stop at the emotion, bond with your friends about it, complain in your journal about it, and then think you're done. You're not. That will not liberate you into not having fear drive you. If you want actual liberation from fear, you must bring the light to your emotions. You must. You in particular. Because you're a light worker. Now, there's more information. Are you ready for more, or would you like to ask something now?
I'm ready for more.
Okay. You have been, we shall say, egoically attached to your notions of self, that certain notions of self that have kept you from becoming the light worker you are. You'll notice on this podcast, I'm not saying us, the light beings here, we're not transmitting you're a light worker, get your light worker shit together to everybody who comes on. Okay, this is you. Okay, so this, I'm an actress, I'm a teacher, I'm. Okay, the I that is claiming those identifications is, you could say, the problem. Now, it's not like we're not to judge it and make it wrong and bad. And what we're to do with it is to take that I, even the notions of what the I thinks it is, we're to take that to the obliteration of the light and to let the divine obliterate it. And yes, that is a scary proposition. Who will I be if I'm not identified with who I've always been? And here's the answer for you. A rocket ship to the fucking moon. You're a rocket fucking ship to the motherfucking moon. And you're like, I want to be a trapped little tiny car in Cape Canaveral, Florida. And the light beings are like, really? You could be, really? That's it? That's just silly. Now, here's a little bit of reassurance for your ego. Okay, your personality, your sense of the small self. Because listen, the self does get obliterated into the light, but there is a self that remains. And for you, what we want to reassure you with is this. The human elements of self that will remain, if you, what's that saying from Mission Impossible? Should you choose to accept this mission? What did he say?
Your mission, should you choose to accept it.
Yes. So should you choose to accept your light worker mission, Fontana, on this planet, will not leave you without fun and bliss and enjoyment and performative pleasures. There will be aligned projects for you. There will be. It's just that there will only be aligned projects for you. And you're used to functioning from any old anything. Please God, any old anything. Now, in your mind, you've been saying for quite some time, no, but I just want the aligned ones. And we're saying, okay, but when you start asking for just the aligned ones, a lot of shit falls away. And that is healthy. You're actually doing great with your intentionality. The way your mind has been doing that thing where it's like, I'm in alignment with you, universe. I'll take just the jobs that are fulfilling, but then I'm going to be real mad about the fact that there's no more jobs. It's like, well, if you think about in the winter, all the plants have to die, right? All the leaves on the trees, they die. They freaking die, dead. They're not it though, right? All the green goes away and all the pretty is gone. And where did the birdies go? Where did the birdies go? They come back in the spring. But you keep being like, yeah, but when's the winter going to end? And we're saying to you today, just keep going on the path of light and trust that nature has its own timing. Divine timing is real. We know that you know this cognitively. This is an energetic transmission for you right now. Breathe into that belly. This is an energetic transmission right now designed to give you more faith in your belly so that you can trust that whatever goes was meant to go, and whatever remains or comes back or comes anew is what was meant to come anew. A tree in the winter doesn't say, well, don't take those leaves. I want the leaves on the left side to go, but the leaves on the right can stay. And then in the spring, it goes like, cool, I'll just take these leaves back and those. The tree is in full surrender. All the leaves go and then brand new leaves. So that's you. Whew. All right. And so how are you feeling now in your body?
Well, when we started, I had a pretty bad pain in my stomach and in the lower part of my head, my brainstem. And those are pretty much gone. And I feel much more present and not in my monkey mind.
Hallelujah.
And trust is the word that is coming from me right now.
Mm.
I trust you so much, Katie. I believe and trust you and your abilities. And I have a very strong bullshit meter built from many years of my mother dragging me to different cults and religions and spiritual practices. And I've had this real bit hard shell about anything resembling any of the spirituality and practice, and also a deep yearning and yearning. And I know I've told you this before that I manifested you in my life, and I'm so grateful.
God is good.
Yeah, she is.
Yeah, just not the creepy one that a lot of us are used with.
Yeah.
Alhamdulillah. You know, so in Sufi school, they taught us that saying, and it means all praise to the one. You know, so somebody says, thank you, Katie. I trust you, Katie. And I say, thank you. I'm honored. And what you're trusting is actually my connection to source, and you're trusting source. That's the thing. That's the only thing I have, really, is just like an ability to connect to source and a willingness to step out of the way to let it do what it's trying to do through me. I have to do it. It's the service I have to do. Hallelujah. Amen. But it all comes back to God. I was talking yesterday, I was on somebody else's podcast, and then we'll come back. I want to check in with you and see what other questions you have. But just to follow this train for a second, I was on someone else's podcast yesterday, a comedian friend of mine named Mark Lundholm, who does a lot of work in the recovery communities and like does a lot of healing work with groups and treatment centers and stuff. And we were talking about like different, he was asking me sort of the story of like how I became this healer and why do I speak all these weird words about light and how did this all happen, right? And I'm telling my story and I'm realizing as I'm telling it, I say to him, you know, Mark, he goes, and then you did this. And he's praising me. And I go, you know, what's funny is there was this moment in the road of this whole fucking thing where I realized, I think it was during Sufi school time, where I realized that even my willingness to work this hard, to have this connection, that is from God. Because when you look at, okay, if you look at any number of 23-year-old sort of Jewish, went to a good school, lady people who got sober at 23 and started on a rando spiritual path. Any one of us, I'm just one of those, right? If you look at any one of them, why would one of them be driven to really heal every single piece of themselves and to really become a channel of light for the people? And why? And not the other. Why would one stay sober and not the other? Can the individual who is the one who stayed sober and got the gifts of God claim that she herself did that? In a way, but who gave the drive? I can't take credit for having the drive to have done this. I didn't create drive in myself. I didn't create commitment in myself. People love to take credit for their own fucking journey. And I just go, take a breath, friend, because even that you were willing, you're not so special. You were given that willingness. Okay, now that's some deep shit, because talk about obliterating the sense of self. What if there is no self that is separate from the one? At first, that seems like a terrifying prospect, but eventually when you sit with it long enough, you realize what a fucking liberating tool it is. Holy God, how happy am I to have no more Katie Rubin to fucking identify with. She's a nightmare. I'm being theatrical to make a point. I'm not in judgment of myself. I mean, being the human Katie Rubin without a spiritual connection and without dissolving into the oneness of all that is, it's not fun. It's actually not any fun. But I'll tell you what, being dissolved into the river of light is pretty fucking great. So why do we say all this right now? What is the purpose of that? It's to say, thank you for acknowledging me. I really do appreciate it in a very deep place in myself, and to teach people something about even that which drove Alhamdulillah, all praise to the one, which comes back to you, Fontana. So we're talking about this fear, and you had some questions, but they were arising from the fear, right? And so the divine says, the response the divine often gives to, like, what do I do when it's coming from fear, the question, is like, okay, let's clear that fear. Now what's your question, is what the divine would say. Because your homework is, from here on out, to take every bit of fear and every emotion, in your case, to the river of light and see, what the light does to it. Because on the other side of that emotion is everything you're seeking. And so with that awareness or without it, what questions do you have now from this space?
I feel very concerned with my loved ones, like my immediate family. Mm. And I know from other practices, like with Al-Anon, that if I'm cleaning my own house, if I'm taking care of my own practice, then there's no way I can control other people. And my empath self is, I'm just really, really exhausted. I feel like I'm carrying a lot. And I need to get my own self strong and connected, put on my own oxygen mask.
That's right.
Yeah.
What specifically, if you're open to sharing, maybe any pieces of this that you're willing to share publicly here, like what specifically are you concerned about for them?
Well, I'm concerned my son is 11 and he has anxiety and he's being treated for it. And he also has expressed that he feels depressed at this time. And so part of me goes to like, oh my God, my sister tried to kill herself when she was 15. I know that there's so many dangers coming up with preteen life and teenage life. And then I go to the bigger picture of like, what if there is a war coming and will he be drafted? And so a lot of it is like protecting him and helping him to explore his feelings and feel his feelings and be okay with that. So I feel like I'm carrying not just myself, but others. And today, right before this call, my wife and my son were fighting and yelling at each other. I couldn't do anything about it because I was working.
Okay. We have a little bit of a challenging question. Okay. But also, it's a good one. I promise. So it's like, think of it this way. It's only challenging in that it's not a mental answer. It's not like the mind is going to be thrilled. But can you imagine, you know, in your household, if you were the walking embodiment of the river of light, if you're literally the river of light, what happens when people come into contact with that?
They get relief.
Yeah. This is the ultimate paradox for the 2 Enneagram and the Al-Anon sufferer. For our listeners, what that means is like people who are really good at helping other people and who are a little bit egoically attached to helping other people. Okay.
For sure.
Where your identity gets wrapped up in, I am a helper. For those of us who have that tendency, the task is to turn even that piece of self. Remember we talked moments ago about obliterating the self for you, is to turn even that small self idea over to the river of light. Meaning the human way of saying it is like, trust that they each have a higher power too. God's taking care of them. But that, I don't know about you, but for me, that's not easy to do. Like, how do I trust that God's taking care? How do I really believe that they have a higher power? I don't know. Then it's in my mind, then it's an idea. But if I go to the river of light every day myself, and I take that part of me that's in my heart, okay, that says, I gotta help them or I'm not okay. I got to save him or he's not okay. If I take that piece of my heart, even that piece of my heart, and by the way, also the brainstem, because you're right, it's in there too, and your pelvic floor, to the divine, something in you loosens and becomes part of the river of light, which magically, no joke, affects them. Number one. Number two, you become a different vibrational frequency such that when they come to you, I'm upset at my other mom or I'm scared, just by being near you, they calm down because you are being what they need rather than trying to go from your human self to their human self. And like, I don't even know what glom on, like, it's like your human self and your self-centered needs glom onto their self-centered fears. And then everybody's enmeshed and nobody's free. really what you want to do is you want to liberate and empower your son, right? You want him to feel free and empowered, light, awake, alive, in his own breath, on his own vibrational field, aligned with source, and ready to take the next indicated action. How do kids learn that? They see their parents modeling it for them. So if you become somebody who sits in the river of light every day and says, no, you don't get to come into mom's room for this half hour because I'm getting connected to source. Sorry. Maybe it takes him 5 years, but one day he goes, all right, fucking, I guess sitting in the river of light is kind of a thing, you know, or it's after he's drafted or after he smokes weed for 20 years or after he goes to prison for selling heroin, whatever it is. I'm not speaking about your son. I'm giving examples to make a point. Having had a mother who did that, it will plant a seed, if nothing else. For you, in your case, you have the capacity to become such a beacon of light with just a little bit of fucking spiritual practice. Instead of, you know, instead of turning to certain things you sometimes turn to, if you were to turn to the light, do you know what I'm talking
about? Yeah, I do.
Great. Then your vibrational frequency would literally change. And then the entire vibrational tone of your house would change. You know that you're the pole of your house, right? You're the pole of it.
Yes.
So the only way for a pole with a bunch of people swinging around it to survive being a pole is it better be a sturdy pole. And the only way I know for a light worker to be a sturdy pole is to be tapped into the river of light. So it's a pretty stern assignment. They're like, yeah, you've got to really like take seriously this. It's sort of like you're like a, you know how like a giraffe can only eat certain kind of leaves off a certain height tree because they're really tall neck and then they need a certain kind of protein and it comes from that one tree. You're a giraffe, but you're trying to eat like gerbil food. You see what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. If you're a light being, you can't survive on like things that normal people survive on, like TV, family, work, rest, weed, alcohol, caffeine, TV, work, family, rest. You can't survive on that. You can maybe survive on it, maybe, but it won't be comfortable and it won't feel good and it won't replenish you. It'll all just deplete and deplete and deplete you. So how are you doing now?
I don't know. I definitely have a lot of homework to do. I hear these truths really crystal clear, and it's exciting. And
cool. That's good.
I like when you call me a light worker. I like it very much. It feels good. It feels really, really good and true. And I know it.
Okay.
Yeah.
How do you feel in terms of, on a practical level, do you feel capable of doing these kind of homework assignments that you're being given here through this? By the way, I feel very, I'm not running this show. This is being given. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So like, how equipped do you feel to have a practice, to know what that practice is, to tap into the river, to make time, to have a boundary, all of that?
I definitely feel at a beginner level with great ideas for beginner tools to do this. I mean, the podcast that you have shared with the world of the opening of the records and the entry, I've been listening to that every day.
Hmm. Okay, good. Okay.
Yeah. For 2 days in a row, which is pretty amazing.
Okay. Well, when and if you decide you want more information or guidance about how to do this more fully, more simply, more deeply every day, you know where to come.
Yeah, I do.
And, you know, again, they want me to like, I just want to really acknowledge you for coming with this particular fear today, because bringing that vibration of fear, it's very popular right now, or I should say it's happening for a lot of people. So you asking about it allows for this healing to come through, and that emanates out for a lot of people. So thank you for bringing your fear here to this space so we could dissipate it for you and everyone in your family and everyone else who's listening who needed that fear dissipated. That's a big service.
And before you came on, we were discussing that this moment right now is a healing, but the 2 weeks from now, when someone puts this and listens to this podcast, the same exact thing is happening. So they didn't have to be present right now as it happened for it to be of service to more than just you.
Yeah. And I've experienced that with listening to the podcast, that I definitely feel very different after listening to it and sobbing through the opening prayers and right there with you. Yeah. And I think about it really consistently throughout my day. And I think that these deep, intense fears are opening because I've been listening to this. And I feel like I'm able to look at things that I've been pushing away for quite a while.
That makes sense. That happens often. Here's something validating too to keep in mind is that like what most people do with that is they just find new and cleverer ways to bury it. You know, so the fact that you called in, the fact that you're asking, the fact that you're sitting here, that we're talking about all that is like, cool, you're moving forward instead of like, I'm just going to smoke more weed or like, I'm just going to, you know, get busy with this knitting project or whatever. Because there's a million ways to just be like, la, 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 this isn't happening.
Yeah.
So rock on.
Yeah.
Katie warned at the beginning of the shelter in place that, I don't know if Katie or maybe it was the record keepers, I remember earlier on, weeks and months ago, a lifetime ago, that this enforced, in some ways, pause, but it's a pause of one framework of how we are operating. It's a change, you know, the shelter in place at home was going to push a lot of people. It was going to burst some dams because a lot of people are going to be sitting forced into a different framing, and they're going to have to feel their feelings, and they're not going to be prepared for it, some of them. And some of us who were more prepared are still feeling them in a different way, but we're a little, you know, you're a little more prepared because you had the presence of mind to say, I feel this feeling, help.
Well, I would add Fontana's like a lot more prepared than the average Joe, because she knows. There's a, you know, they talk in the 12-step programs a lot about like this thing called step zero. Step zero is the period of time before step one that can often last for years and years and years, where you're going, things aren't quite right. I guess I'll read this book. Things aren't quite right. Well, I'll take a class. Things aren't quite right. And you're kind of, the human being will like dance around, like I'm powerless and my life is unmanageable. And then one day step one hits and off you go. And that's that's how the spiritual path works. So step zero, it can sound patronizing or like not a big deal or like, oh, I'm only on step zero. That's just judgment functioning, because step zero is very important. Most people have to spend a lot of time in the moment right before step one in order to surrender to step one.
Most people are in like step -3.
Yeah. Yeah. One of my spiritual teachers always reminds me too, like one of the things I have to process a lot with him is that I get frustrated with how little work people do and how much I have to like, people will come back to a healer in this kind of victim mentality of like, fix me. Cool. We have 15 minutes. Fix it. Okay. Bye. And then they go back to doing everything they've ever been fucking doing. Then they come back in 3 months and they go, fix it. And the it that we're fixing is the same fucking thing. They just recreated it because they're not willing to actually do any work or change or make new choices. Now that gets draining on a bitch, because I have to be, if I'm going to do this work, part of the work has to be teaching people to fish. I can't just hand people fish all day, because then you're Jesus and they hang you on a cross. You know why? Because they don't understand that they have to learn how to fucking fish. This isn't a joke. Like it's not a joke. None of this is like a joke. This is like really happening. I love what your partner said, Cassidy. Rami posted on the internet at some point recently, somebody said something about when we get to go back to blah, blah, blah. And Rami wrote, hi, we're not going back to anything. Something new is being created. Have you not tapped into that yet? And that is the thing I have to come back to what I was saying is like, this is process work I have to do frequently, is coming back to finding my compassion for human beings and how fucking not committed they are to actually doing any work that will actually work for us all as a oneness, as a race, as a consciousness, as a planet. Because as my teacher always reminds me, you have to meet people where they are And everywhere that people are is perfect for where they are, because then one little step forward on where they are is huge. Because every little tiny step that every individual takes forward on a spiritual path is like a huge tidal wave shift for the planet. And me as a big visionary, creative type, I'm like, yeah, but I want to see tidal waves every millisecond from everybody all day. And it's like, okay, tone it down, ego, because there's a tidal wave happening and it's not on your terms. And I'm always like, but I want my terms. We all have our battles to fight. So thank you for being here, Fontana. I really appreciate it.
Oh, it's wonderful. Thank you so much.
My pleasure. I love you. We all love you.
I love you too. I love you, Cass.
I love you too. It's really an honor to have you as our first on-air guest because, you know, there's a history of trust between you and I, and I'm just pretty much watching today. And you and Katie have a shorter but very deep connection. It was a good way to sort of bridge the space between an unknown and a known. So thank you for being on here.
Okay, babe. Thank you for being here. We'll let you go.
Great. All right. Love y'all. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.
All through that entire healing, I was hearing in the background my dog, who's now sitting on the chair with me, destroying something important far away.
Do you still don't know what it is?
No idea. And I'm kind of excited to find out. Here now. But later, when this all ends and I go out and I go, oh, I see all of the pens are now ink on my white. Got it. Okay,
that was great. That's going to be nice. What's the rest of your day going to look like? How are you going to, what happens after you do a reading for yourself or a channeling? Like, is there a come down?
That's a great question. You know, it's funny. It's sort of similar to, you know, when people ask you as an actor, like, how is it after a show? You're like, well, I'm amped the fuck up for a while. Then I go to a bar and then I sit with my friends and then I calm the fuck down. And like how different people sort of navigate that. For me, I'm really pretty amped up after healing work, energy work, usually. Part of it comes from feeling usefully whole. And I feel like, oh, I feel useful. I'm using whatever random gifts I have to like do something useful. So that's good for the esteem and the whatever. And also just the energy is so high vibe that it makes me feel, you know, high and buzzy. And so I usually kind of like get stuff done for my life after something like that, where I'm like, okay, we're going to run that errand. We're going to tidy up the kitchen and we're going to, and then I go pew and I take a nap or whatever. So it's pretty nice. Today in particular is interesting because, oh, right. I have a client, a healing client at 6:30. So like I'll get some time to do some Katie things and then I'll go back into this kind of space with someone in an hour and a half or so. And then I have a friend date to watch some TV tonight, like we've all been doing with each other.
Nice.
Like get on Zoom and watch TV together.
At the same time and talk while it's showing.
Yeah.
Everybody's playing Mystery Science Theater 3000 in their own way.
Yeah, exactly right. We're all living into that.
You know what I watched the other night? Just because watched Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf, the movie.
Huh.
Which I had never seen. I've never even seen the play.
Wait, what actors are in that?
I can tell you. Elizabeth Taylor and British, very classic, the guy, the main actor of the world. What the hell is his name? I mean, from back in the day, from the 60s. The British guy, I want to say.
Virginia.
Burton, Richard Burton. Richard Burton and Elizabeth Taylor. It is a stunning moment of acting in the moment, because I never realized it's absurdism. You can't link a thought, a moment to the next moment like we do in regular linear acting, because they're so fucking crazy.
What? Tell me more. Say more.
It's about a dysfunctional, I mean, it's about a marriage and they invite people over. Have you seen it?
Well, it's about alcoholism.
Yeah, it's also about alcoholism. So maybe that's it. But like to study extreme emotional distress through the lens of like, it's absurd. Because like if you know, like Waiting for Godot is absurdism, but it reveals deep truths because you can only focus on this moment here now. As an actor, you'd be like, I will say this line with this truth. And then I might 180 degrees within the next two lines three, four times, but each one has to feel like it's coming from truth. So it's not this leads to that, which is an understandable arc in the way that we logically see human emotion.
You know what's funny to me hearing you describe this? This is very interesting. This is very interesting because the way you're talking about it tells me through my lenses, you did not get raised in an alcoholic house.
Right. So chaotic logic does not, I don't see it.
The fact that you call it absurdism, to me, that play is like, oh, that's just a bad weekend at home.
Uh-huh.
And you're like, no, that's absurdism, like Godot, like in this artful absurdist. I don't even know what it is. I have no frame of reference for that. And I'm like, that's called Tuesday Night with Mom.
Yeah.
But like, that's fascinating. See, because that's a good example of like how different it is to be raised with like healthy, loving parents and to not be.
Right. But you have a deep understanding of nonlinear comedy and like the ability to just to hold simultaneous realities and truths.
That's true.
You know, without, you're like, there's no conflict there. And I'm like, but those don't link together in the way that things link. And you're like, right. Yeah, because people just have 17 thoughts at once and they all come out as truth.
That's thank you for that, because that helps me have a positive mental framework for my childhood in a different way. I really appreciate that. That's really interesting.
Yeah, I never thought of it that way either. Like, of course, that's my framing. And that wasn't even my framing. Like, Rami had that framing. It was like, that was absurdism. I was like, oh, yeah, it kind of was. And then we agreed. But yeah, but also just watching them as actors be able to manifest that so clearly without it feeling untrue or acted is a stunning thing to watch.
I mean, my guess would be those two actors have some experience with.
Oh, yeah. Burton's an absolute raging alcoholic from what I hear.
So there you have it. Yeah. I mean, they just know that reality. So it's not hard to play. That's like when people would say to me, people have said in the past, like, how did you play that evil character so convincingly? I'm like, I just imitated my mom. Like, it's not that hard.
I thought you were going to say, because I am an evil bitch for a long time. Only recently not.
Well, I mean, I do know how to carry the energy of evil. And I do know how to embody it because truly because I was raised by it and because I had it in my body. It's very familiar to me. I had another friend, a healer friend, who came and saw You Mean to Do Me Harm, one of the plays that I did. And she said, wow, you really are embodying that character's evil. And I remember thinking, and I said to her, evil? Like, I don't see this character as evil. This character's like got some issues, but she's not evil. And then later that night, I was like, well, I probably am bringing my own experience of evil to whatever I'm doing up there and just really inhabiting the shit out of it because I have that frame of reference. Yeah. But you know, one of the gifts of that is that like so many people are so afraid of their own darkness and they conflict, you know, everybody conflates anger with like bad or anger with evil or darkness with evil. And because I literally was raised by and infused with actual evil, I had to really tease apart through a lot of help from a lot of other people, not on my own, the difference between the energy of what is evil and the energy of like, what is like appropriate anger or like intensity that is okay, that is actually a contribution. And that's part of what I end up teaching people all the time now, because nobody has to tease that out in their own body. So they never learn.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then I watch these documentaries, people will be like, how as a sensitive person and as a psychic healer person, are you watching a documentary about Charles Manson right now? Or about, what's his name? The new one, but Ted Bundy. And to me, I faced the most evil fucking shit you can face in this universe, in my own body. So when I watch Ted Bundy, I go, let's see how he's working with it. I look at him and go, oh, look at how evil it's wrapped around his heart like that. And it takes him over and it makes his choices. I see. Interesting. Oh, look how, he's employing it like this now. Oh, that's different from how my mom did it. That's the same as I did it. So to me, it's just like, oh, what an interesting kind of like exploration of a thing I know.
Wow. Yeah. And I don't watch those because I'm like, I don't have any capacity for managing horror because I never had to. So I didn't build up the tools. I had one other thought, and it was just more about the reading about Fontana.
Yeah.
And thinking about the work that I know Fontana does, some of the work that Fontana does, and which I also do alongside her sometimes with like coaching people and communication stuff. And thinking like, obviously, it's not about the egoic attachment to the current work, but all work that we do is a channel through which we can carry that work that we're doing. So all even tasks, even like business work, like you do as an actor, you ideally channel through, you manifest your connection to source through also your comedy and your acting. And I'm thinking about Fontana and how she teaches and how I've taught with her. And yeah, she's a fucking light worker, of course.
Isn't she?
She absolutely is. The way she teaches, she's already doing it.
Yeah.
She's already, you know, partway there. Like she's already bringing that connection to, I kind of look at it as like, she has a connection to heart bliss, to like open, to the open river of love that I've always noted and, you know, bathed in sometimes. And she brings that to her work with people at like high-end tech companies. And that has got to be fucking useful. We need that.
Dude, she like I've co-taught with her from time to time or seen her at work, and she can hold such compassionate space from her heart for whatever is in front of her. And she'll just breathe away any resistance she's having to it or anything in herself that's being triggered by it. She can just breathe it through and it moves through, and then she's able to hold space and facilitate. She's so gifted that way.
And being able to carry that into these environments where these people, all people, you know, people in certain environments are more, I don't know, ever bound in systems that are challenging and restricting. And so like you said, like just for a family to be in the presence of one who is in with the light is going to help them. And I'm just thinking about how the work that and the way she does the work, bringing these things into these companies, into these people, carrying that into the work is so already so useful and powerful and helpful to defeating the darkness or whatever it is we're trying to do.
Now, so often what happens for people like us is that we're very good at bringing it to work and not so good at bringing it home. And so, you know, that's to do with just our various and sundry. It's also like, it's a lot of work to have it it's a lot of work to take it to work and then do it again at home and then apply it at home.
And we want to separate our work from our home.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, that's a big one for me. When I've looked at like deeply looked at, why am I not yet in a long-term partnership that I want to stay in? Really looked at it. Part of it is to do with, I haven't really wanted to have to do the amount of, I mean, I'm doing so much self-work just to be a person and to have a career and to exist and to serve others and to have my dog and to sleep enough, that to be with a person and take all of my stuff that comes up in response to a person all up in my grill at my house all the time, take all that through all the processes that I take everything else through, that's a big fat fucking commitment. And that person has to be pretty badass so I'm not having to do that all the fucking time, A. And B, I have to be willing to like show up for that. And it's been, you know, like this year that I've really realized like how, yeah, I don't think I was ready to do that at that level, the level that's required for me. I don't think I was able or ready for that. It's like I'm stepping into that readiness right now, which is a trip because it's a trip because something like have a relationship, it's like so normal. It's like what everybody does. You just like grow up, finish high school, go to college, maybe get married, have a house, have a job, and that's life. Like they're all such givens for some people. And for me, nah, it's not a given. A relationship for real? Nah. That's not a given. It's the opposite of a given. It's like something I've had to really get ready for. And I, you know, in a way, like normal people have so much to teach me about just how to be with each other. And in another way, I have so much to teach them about how to be with each other. And it's a paradox that has no, it's like a infinity symbol. It has no end. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like I look at Desmond and his, not to put you Desmond in like a normal people camp, but compared to me in terms of relationalness, you're like a healthy, normal, loving, married to a person kind of guy. I have like everything to learn from him and his wife. And I betcha if I got them in a co-healing session, I could facilitate stuff for them. So that paradox exists. Where if I just like hung out in their house and watched, I'd be like, oh, that's how you do that. Look at that. Oh, normal people doing normal stuff. Okay. You don't have to say that thing out loud. Got it. Oh,
he's- yeah, we could set up a webcam that was hidden in a bookcase and you could just observe.
He's showing us a picture of his bookcase now. Yeah,
perfect. There's a lot of cameras in that bookcase.
He's like, who do you think? Yeah, there's already cameras in here.
That's why they have such a healthy relationship. They do video reviews of every day. Well, this has been fun.
This was a good one. That was deep. Yeah,
that was very deep. To be in the presence of it is always such a fucking honor.
Yay. I'm so glad you feel that way. I'd like to leave everybody today with one piece of really fun information. I have made a commitment to myself, and I would like to have accountability on the podcast to track that I actually show up for this in my life. I will be purchasing a jet ski.
No idea where that was going. And wow.
I am so I live on this waterway, right? And like every day I stare at the water and it's so beautiful. Water. I'm like on the top of a hill and I overlook this beautiful waterway. And I walk, there's like trails that the city has built on the waterway, and the dog and I walk on the waterway and little boats go by the waterway. And I'm from Miami, Florida originally. And every city I've ever traveled to in the world that has water near it, I have jet skied there. I've jet skied in every coast of Florida, Greece, Italy, India, California, Michigan, Ohio, I jet skied in. A lot of places.
Life goals. It's important. It's like funny because the deeply spiritual woo-woo person, like, I would like to have a single fabric triangle sailboat with a rudder made of ancient whalebone. Nope, fucking jet ski.
That's what I want. A lot of gas. I want to put gas in the water.
Yep, just dump it right in there.
Let's kill those fishes off. Let's get rid of them.
That's good.
So I'm working on it. I have a few leads. I'm saving cash. I'm going to check in with our podcast listeners on how it's coming every week.
If you have opinions about Katie purchasing a jet ski, please email us at allanswerspod@gmail.com. Also, if you'd like to have a question on the air in the future or join us specifically here on the podcast, please, you can email us at allanswerspod@gmail.com.
Allanswerspod@gmail.com.
Yeah.
Thanks, everybody.
Yeah.
We did it. All of the answers. Say what? All of the answers. Yeah, all the answers. Hey guys, thanks for listening. We'd love to hear from you. Please email us with your questions so that we have questions to answer in the Akashic Records. Our email address is allanswerspod@gmail.com. That's allanswerspod@gmail.com. And if you'd like to find us on Facebook or Twitter, it's @allanswerspod. @allanswerspod. Thank you.